Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
In studio with us once again is Dr. Anthony Poston. Anthony is, he is a writer. He is also the provost over at DMAC West. He is also a publisher who publishes books of very broad content for all kinds of people. He has just released his new book. It's called A Quarter Million Steps, Creativity, Imagination, and Leading Transformative Change. Welcome back, Tony. Good to see you here.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here.
So, now what?
It's one of those things. You just keep plugging away.
Well, you know, one of the things that you're so well known for is CI Week, Celebrate Innovation Week. And so you've been in this whole realm of change and leadership and celebrating innovation of all kinds. And I think it's telling that the foreword of this book was written by a former astronaut.
Yeah. Let me give you a little bit of background about why I decided to write this book.
Sure.
If you don't mind. I've been, of course, in my roles as an educator and as working with businesses across the country and in my Air Force days as a pilot and so on and so forth, I have come to a realization that there are a lot of issues today that we're working towards or working to fix as a people. Like, for instance, one thing that I've noticed –
Just name 100.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah. Focus has been a problem, right? I mean, I see as an educator, focus has been declining amongst people. Technology is a wonderful thing, but it also has some negative side effects.
Sure it does.
And a lack of focus is one of those side effects. I've seen declines in work ethic in certain aspects, teamwork, creativity. In fact, creativity has become a currency now. It's so valued by business. Imagination, change is often difficult. So as I identify these issues that are occurring throughout society today and in my own backyard, I started thinking about, well, how do we solve these things or how should we look at them differently? But then I at the same token, I have a kind of a passion for the space program, and I had the unique position of having known about five of these guys very, very well. 24 men made that journey to the moon and back. And I know five of them very well. Of course, most recently, Gene Cernan passed away.
Right.
And I think I spoke to him a couple weeks before he died. And it was sudden. But over the course of years, I've had great conversations with these gentlemen. And I've gotten a lot of insight from them on how things were done back in the 60s and early 70s. And I've read a lot of books written by these people, as well as others who were involved in that time frame. And as I listened to their stories and as I read their books, I started realizing, wow, there's some great lessons to be learned in some of these through some of these people during that time frame. So I took a lot of their content, and all their stories, and a lot of their their conversations we've had, combined it with a lot of my own stories and a lot of my own background, and kind of created this book to help me address some of these issues.
And when we talk about a quarter million steps, what does that mean?
Well, okay. Nothing in life happens in one big leap, right? Everything's incremental.
Right.
And the moon is a quarter million miles away. And it took us a quarter million miles and a quarter million steps to get there,
to speak.
And if you go back and you look at the entire Apollo program, it didn't happen overnight.
No.
But it required the work of literally over 400,000 people, 10,000 organizations. In fact, if you look at the 1969 census workforce and take out the teenagers, the high school kids and so on and so forth that were working, take them out, one out of every 150 people in this country were in some way attached to the Apollo program.
Yeah.
And it was massive. And yet they got all this stuff created. There are over 6,000 products today in our world that we take for granted that came out of the Apollo research, things like microwave ovens and purified drinking water and fire retardation and companies like Intel came out of Apollo. Can you imagine our world today without chips? Intel's checking out? Yeah, I mean, yeah. So a lot of great things came out of Apollo that we don't think about today and have no – but most importantly, the thing that came out of that time frame in my life was the inspiration that it did. I had a chance to talk to Gene Cernan a few weeks before he passed away, and one of the questions I asked him was, Gene, in all the things in your life that you've done, you went to the moon twice and so on and so forth, you were a pilot in the Navy, what are you most proud of? And I thought he was going to say going to the moon, right? Mm-hmm. And no, he said, to my surprise, that he was most proud of having been part of something that inspired an entire generation. And it was my generation inspired. So that was an inspiration for me as my childhood, as was Star Trek, something that wasn't real. But Gene Roddenberry created an entire universe that was based on solid scientific principles. He would say, okay, communications like the walkie-talkie back in the 60s, what would that look like in the 40th and 50th generation, hence the communicator, and so on and so forth, to the point where it inspired a generation of kids as well to become engineers, scientists, so on and so forth. And they actually brought most of that stuff to fruition, and we have in our world today. So what Gene said he was most proud of was helping to inspire generations like that with some big, big leap stuff like that. But on the same token, he was also disappointed in the fact that there's very little today that he sees inspiring our youth in a big way. So that's part of the reason why I talk about Apollo. The book's not about space. It's about all these other issues, leadership and so on and so forth. But it uses kind of the space program as a metaphor about how things could be done better.
And when we take a look at that, I was very much alive and kicking during the space program. I remember when President Kennedy says we are going to go to the moon.
Right, 1961.
Yeah, and everybody said, wow, go to the moon. You got to be, and then the Mercury program started, and then that morphed into the Apollo program, and it was absolutely dramatic. And as you said, during that time period, Tony, everybody was working.
Right,
everybody was working. The lifestyle in this country was totally different. It was we can win lifestyle, and and I sometimes wonder if that wasn't because it was fostered on the shoulders of what Tom Brokaw calls the greatest generation.
Very much so. I believe so, yes.
And,
you know, Ken Mattingly, who's quoted in this book as well, and he was here for CI Week a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Ken, if you remember, in the movie Apollo 13 was played by Gary Sinise. Ken talked about, even when he was here, how during the Apollo 13 crisis, when he was called into action, he went outside at 3 o'clock in the morning when that first became a problem outside of Houston, at Johnson Space Center today. And every light of every building was on, and you could see heads in every window, which meant that everybody was on deck. I mean, everybody was realized, hey, this is a problem. We're all going to chip in and do what we can to solve this problem. It wasn't like, well, that's not really my problem. I'm not going to go in until morning. I mean, everybody got out of bed and went to work. And that's the kind of work ethic that's kind of lacking to a certain degree today. I mean, people are busy and they're doing stuff, but I often wonder if they're doing the right stuff.
Yeah, you touched on technology just a little bit ago. It can be the greatest asset. It can also be pretty negative. I was at lunch with my son, who had a birthday. And so we went to lunch
together.
Thank you very much. He's now 37, so it kind of puts you where I'm at. But anyway, as I was leaving, I was looking. I looked down, and there was a table of three women, I would say 55 to 60, 65 years old. None of them were in communication with each other. They were all looking at their cell phones. I thought, oh my gosh, it's even touched that generation?
Yes. Absolutely. It's not just young people. But I'll tell you something that's kind of interesting. You know, with CI Week, AARP was a sponsor for the first time. And they sponsored this because they see a growing chasm between the seniors of our community and the millennials. And it's widening every year. I think the research shows that. And, you know, and the research shows that millennials don't seem to care about much prior to pre 2000, which is kind of sad because, you know, they're going to repeat a lot of the same mistakes again. But in the same token, in my generation growing up, we often spoke to our older, you know, people, our old folks, so to speak, in our neighborhoods and got there. I had an engineer next door to me that was like a 65-year-old guy, retired. He helped me immensely as a teenager and high school kid. I mean, I was over there at his house all the time hanging out. And so this book also kind of pulls that together as well, you know, brings in some of the older concepts, the older wisdom and stories. And
what we're seeing, this is curious because Kent Sovereign was just at a presentation that I was at, and we talked about this in public about how, millennials and baby boomers, for example, do have maybe some different things, but they also have great similarities in where they want to live. And they're all actually they're commingling together in many of these downtown areas as people become empty nesters. And so there is some real interaction going on and starting to catch hold. Tell us about the book, A Quarter Million Steps. This is Creativity, Imagination, and Leading Transformative Change. It is, of course, produced and published by your company?
It's by Book Press Publishing, which is here, collaborative here in Des Moines Metro. They've done about 35 titles, and mine's the most recent.
Yeah, and where can folks buy this thing?
Right now, the book is technically hasn't even been released yet. The release date is until May 1st, but you can get it on Amazon right now. But I would suggest if you're going to get a copy now to go to quartermillionsteps.com. because at quartermillionsteps.com, yes, if you order one right now on quartermillionsteps.com while supplies last, L. Warden from Apollo 15, who wrote the foreword for the book, is also signing it. So you'll get a copy from him, signed by him as well.
Isn't that neat? So Al Warden, yeah. What a great guy he is. And he was recently with you.
Yeah, well, yeah. He spent a whole week here in town. He's a fantastic guy.
What did he think about this? Whole Celebrate Innovation?
Well, he loved the event. In fact, I'm working with a new book with him that's going to be published through Smithsonian and National Geographic. It's kind of a business book about everything I learned about business, I learned in space kind of a thing.
Yeah, right.
And he and I are going to co-write that together. Yeah, so we just started that project. I'll be going down to Florida here soon to meet with him on that.
So when do you sleep?
Well, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You're like the
Who
rest
needs sleep,
of us?
Man? I can sleep when I'm dead.
We got stuff to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff to do. His name is Dr. Anthony Poston, ladies and gentlemen. The new book is called A Quarter Million Steps, Creativity, Imagination, and Leading Transformative Change. And I flipped through this just seconds ago, and thank you for signing this copy. I really
absolutely.
Do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It. And one of the things I noticed is that this is headlined and looks to be an easy read. It goes this.
Every chapter stands on its own.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not one of those things that you don't have to read the whole thing in one setting.
No. Although a chapter may refer to another chapter every now and then, every chapter is a separate topic.
Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Anthony Poston, ladies and gentlemen, DMAC, how did we get so lucky to get you in this community?
I don't know.
What the hell is going
on? I love Des Moines,
though.
I love Central Iowa. I'm not going anywhere.
We're fortunate to have you. Million Steps, Creativity, Imagination, and Leading Transformative Change. Dr. Anthony Poston. Go find out more about it. We will have links up on the radio blog so you can find out more about the book and perhaps order your advance copy at the same time. All right, we've got to step aside. What's happening with regard to Wall Street today? We will tell you when we come back. And then we're going to be talking with Laura Kennard about networking and social media for business. It's all ahead here on the Business News Hour for a Monday afternoon.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it.